Welcome to We Are the Watchers.
This is episode 413, top of the day to you, Steph.
Top of the day to you.
I am currently boiling a Christmas pudding.
Is it hurting you?
It doesn't seem to be. I seem to be okay with it. Yeah, I have spent, so yesterday I bought most of the ingredients, but then today I was like, well, last night I was like, damn it, I forgot. You know when you assume that you've got enough of one thing, and it was the brown sugar. And so I thought, well, I'll get more brown sugar and I'll get more flour just in case.
Yeah.
And I think I probably need it because I've decided to make a smaller pudding, but with the rest of the ingredients and adding to it them, I'm going to make a Christmas cake as well.
Nice.
And I think I will need the flour for
the cake.
The cake. Yeah. Fun.
I mean, doing multiple trips up to the supermarket is kind of part and parcel of Christmas, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, exactly. And it starts this early. It was funny when I was looking for the glacé cherries. This is for the cake, not the pudding, today. There was an older couple and the man said, excuse me, do you know where the – have you seen the
candied
oranges? And I said, yeah, they're there, even though I had not walked in that direction.
Yeah.
I said, I was here yesterday, but I forgot a couple of things. And I looked and I went, oh.
They're all gone.
They're all gone. I wonder if maybe, you know, sometimes they put them on the end of the aisles though. You know, yeah. Christmas time, they'll put it there. He said, oh, this is the time when everybody who isn't going to just buy one will make one. I said, oh, I wonder if, because this was Woolies, I said, I wonder if Aldi has it.
Bet they do.
I bet they do as well. So, you know, hopefully they've had a bit of luck there. But, yeah, that's boiling and I'll do the cake after this.
Plans.
I know. I've also got lamb chops to cook and I found chicken breasts which were already sliced up like for stir fry reduced to clear has to be used today and I was like I'll cook that
why not.
So I've got several things I'm doing as well as doing this podcast. Got a great quiz for you. It's related to something we both went and saw this week, which I already know you're excited about. A quiz worth waiting for. Watched that, so we'll talk about that. And I've got a Christmas adjacent sort of. No, I've definitely got a Christmas thing to talk about. I do. I've got
to recommend.
I've got my first Christmas thing to talk about.
Oh, should I talk about my Christmas thing then?
I guess we could,
or I could leave it.
I don't know. Did you like it a lot?
I did like it, actually.
Okay, let's talk it. Let's go a little bit Christmassy because we'll be talking, we'll be able to smell the pudding.
Yeah, true.
Cooking. So, all right. Now it is time to get into the news.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
I was trying to be a little bit like a boat horn.
Yeah, I could hear that.
Because my first story is about
Below Deck.
Yes. BravoCon.
Good job.
Has happened now. Is it finished?
Oh, no.
Still going.
Still
okay.
Going.
Anyway.
Our time. Their time.
I've got a little bit of gossip. So Kate from Below Deck, Chief Stew with Captain Lee, she said that her friendship with Captain Lee still – they've kind of grown apart.
Okay.
She said, look, I'm just so busy with my toddler. I think it happens when you work with somebody, you've got something in common to talk about and then you don't work with them.
Yeah.
The ship has sailed. I'm happy for him and I'm happy for me.
And your worlds are so different.
Exactly. And she also went on to say that she moved away from Fort Lauderdale and obviously she doesn't work on boats. Well, they don't work on boats together anymore, but he's always been such a big part of my life and we've lost touch a little bit, but I wish him well. So there's nothing like it makes sense,
dramatic,
right? You work with someone and you'll be really good friends with them and then either you or they leave and, you know, you'll still be in contact a little bit, usually through social media and not even that much. You'll see their posts and you'll be like, ah.
And then it just fizzles out.
Yeah. And I think that's all it is. She did say that she would be interested in working with Captain Sandy. And I went, why, in my head. And then I thought, oh, maybe she just wants to be on another series.
Wants another job.
Mm.
Do you know that her baby is rumoured? Oh, like I feel like that's actually been confirmed, but I don't. No, but her baby is Chef Ben's.
Really?
Yeah, that's
I didn't
I
know
heard.
That.
That's a good
I mean, I want to say allegedly because I don't know that I believe the confirmedness.
Sometimes people do that kind of thing just to get the names out there.
Yeah.
You know, like the publicity department from Bravo or whatever will do that just to get the name out there. Interesting. Okay. You've been catching up on a little bit of BravoCon. I did see a photograph of Captain Lee there. It looked like he was on immobile, like he was on like a
motorized
buggy kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know the language.
I don't know either. Called. But his wife was there, so I thought that was interesting. But there must have been some Real Housewives gossip too.
There's Housewives gossip. Andy Cohen offered Vicky Gumbelson, who, if you ask her, will tell you she's the OG of the OC. He offered her – so she was famously fired.
Yes.
Because she – sued Bravo under a pseudonym, and they found out it was her.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I didn't know you could do that. I just assume you had to use your real name for that kind of legal thing.
Bizarre, right? So Vicky was, famously fired, demoted to a friend, hasn't appeared in the latest season, appeared in a couple, and she was offered by Andy Cohen her orange back for season 20 of Real Housewives of OC for next year.
It has to be because of all of that backstory, right? Real life backstory.
Mm.
To have her back, people will be like, oh, I'm watching this season.
I'm in.
Watching it. Didn't he also mention that they have a cast for New York now?
They do. He's not saying who, but it has been confirmed that three of the cast from the reboot are coming back.
Okay.
I never watched it. I watched that
one
episode.
Yeah, you weren't in it, were you?
No, a lot of people weren't. So whether they just rejig it and get, you know, five more people and add these three on, I don't know. But he did allude to the fact that there is something fun in the works for the original Roni cast, like Dorinda.
They're the
and
ones
Luann.
You want.
Look, let's be honest, Bravo. That's all we want. We just want those, you know.
What's Big Eyes again? I can't
Ramona.
Remember. Ramona. Sorry, I just went absolutely blank then. Yeah.
We want Ramona,
we want
Sonia.
More of her. Yes. Always Sonia.
Yeah. Dorinda and Luann.
Yeah,
we could probably get a couple of the others in there, and I think it would still do really
perfect.
Well.
And then you could have maybe the three from the last season. Just put them in with those guys.
Oh, my God, they would crucify them.
Wouldn't it be amazing to watch?
They would literally rip them to shreds. Like, I fear for those women's mental health.
Or anything else from BravoCon that sort of stuck out for you?
They have done a spoiler alert of a new Real Housewives franchise, Real Housewives of Rhode Island.
Oh, the accent's going to be good, isn't
it?
Like that's.
I watched a little bit of the trailer and they just seem so full of themselves, like Rhode Island is the best place in the world.
Okay. I didn't know that. Is Rhode Island where Stephanie Plum books are set?
No, she's Jersey.
Oh, she's Jersey. Okay, sorry.
And Andy Cohen also said there in 2026 there would be another ultimate girls trip or housewives girls trip.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's going to be a road trip and it will be with some of the most popular past and present.
Oh, like a nice mix.
Yeah.
Cool.
Which it always is. It's always a mix.
It's what you want. That's
past
good.
And present
oh,
is
fun.
Good. So some fun things happening.
Excellent. Speaking of fun things that are happening, are you interested in seeing Susan Sarandon, Rosario Dawson and Scott Eastwood, a.k.a. the son of Clint Eastwood, be in a supernatural thriller?
I like them.
If it's not too scary. I'll
yeah,
give you a bit of a
the
synopsis, see what you
part.
Think, right? It's called Unmerciful Good Fortune. And Rosario plays the main character. She's like a high-end celebrity attorney. And she has to work on a case involving Fatima, who's, as they describe, a cunning young waitress who is accused of serial poisoning and murdering 28 people. Her defense takes a darkly mysterious turn when she claims to have the psychic ability to see how someone will die when she touches them and that she is killing people to prevent a fate worse than death.
Golly.
Sounds a bit weird, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like in an interesting way. That is obviously not going to be out for a while because we're only just announcing the cast, but that sounds pretty cool. Also, this was just a little, that's interesting. And yeah, you're absolutely right kind of story. So Aaron Sorkin, he's a writer, he's won Oscars, and he wrote the movie The American President, if you remember that one with Michael Douglas. He reckons there's no way that movie would be made today.
Why?
Because he thinks the studios wouldn't agree to make it because it would deter half the public from wanting to go and see it. You know, this movie's 30 years old.
Why are we talking about it then?
No, this is interesting because it was the 30th anniversary. He said, look, this is a romantic comedy, but the two political issues at heart of it were guns and environment, right? He said the movie wouldn't get made today. A studio wouldn't agree to make it because they would know you've just alienated half of the potential audience, which wasn't the case in 1995. The heroes I wrote, they did things even though it would cost some popularity. That's not a thing you see in professional politicians today. So what it was about, if you remember, it was a Rob Reiner film.
Mm-hmm.
It was about a popular Democratic president, that was Michael Douglas, who's going up for re-election. So he's widowed and he falls for an environmental lobbyist, which was Annette Bening, and the Republican challenger was Richard Dreyfuss, and he's like, this is an opportunity to maybe find some sort of attack campaign with that relationship. And then Michael Douglas's approval rating slips and he's trying to get like this gun control bill through. And it's like, can you just imagine any of that being like,
true.
You'd be like, why? What's this weird fantasy story?
Even a single president.
Don't you reckon? Yeah, it's not really a thing, is it? Interesting. Would you like to get into some watching suggestions?
Yeah, I do.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
So this is the time where we get to talk about we went to see Stardew Valley.
Well,
the symphony.
Yeah.
The Metropolitan Symphony.
Yeah.
Do it. It was called like In Seasons or something.
Symphony of the Seasons.
Symphony of the Seasons. We were talking to our cousins beforehand because they all play Stardew Valley.
Yeah.
Like most people play or have played Stardew Valley at some point in time. And we were like, it's going to be interesting to see what the audience is.
Yeah.
Like what
but we're so onto what the demographic of audiences that we go to now, because we've been shocked a couple of times naively on our behalf.
We just didn't think about it.
We didn't think about it. And then we walked in and gone, we belong here now.
That makes sense.
Okay. I mean, you did say you walked in to the foyer and you went, I think this means we're cool.
And then we walked a bit further and I was like, oh, okay. All right. But beforehand, you were like, oh, we're going to be one of the only two people not cosplaying.
Yeah. I assumed there would be a lot more cosplay than there were. There, of course, were cosplay and there were some really fun ones. But, yeah, I expected way more.
Not as many. What I really enjoyed, there were families. So parents had taken their kids.
Yeah.
You know, about 10 to 12-year-old kids. It was really nice.
Really nice to see.
At one point in time, so the conductor, she spoke to the audience a lot. She kind of
narrated it in a way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And at one point in time, she said, who has reached perfection? And, like, we know what perfection is. Mm. That's you basically platinum 100% the game.
Yeah. But they turned the house lights up so you could see.
And there were, like, it wasn't a majority, but if I said a quarter.
Not even, I don't reckon.
You reckon maybe a sixth.
Yep.
Of 7,000 people.
Yeah.
There were more hands up than I expected.
Were there?
Yeah.
No, I was expecting way more.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was expecting way more.
And they played every single moment, every single piece of music.
Yeah, yeah.
From all of Stardew Valley. They were not like, oh, guys, just warning you, spoilers potentially. They're just like, we're just playing it and we assume that if you've come to this, you know enough to know.
Yeah. For me, I don't know that there were any.
Only one thing with someone from the island and we were like, oh, I think we've forgotten to do a mission for that guy.
Yeah, we got a bit confused on the island. And there was a tree that I was like, what's that tree doing? Where's that tree? How did they get that tree?
And then we played it the day after and that tree is there but it's not as it is in that.
They did say there would be like live gameplay. Well, not live, but there'd be gameplay. And I was expecting a bit more of that, but I understand why there wasn't, because your whole audience would be captivated
just watching the gameplay,
that and not necessarily watching and really appreciating the orchestra. But it was interesting because they had screens playing stuff all the time, but it would be, a part of the valley and it would just be panning really slowly yes. through so you could watch it and then go, oh, I know what this looks like. I'm going to watch these musicians.
It was actually
now.
Really well done.
It was really well yeah. done. And there were bits where they had taken scenes or rooms and things and done it more of an illustration versus a
yeah, it was
video
a really
game.
Different sort of from, art design. It yeah, looked nice.
Yeah, and some taken from a different perspective. Like we kind of watch everything almost mm-hmm. bird's eye view and they had taken it from what, a one of the characters' views?
Yeah, or just from the ground level, like yeah. as if you were, I don't know, a parsnip growing.
Yeah, or like, you know, in the Adventurers Guild. It was like you were almost standing
true.
At the
Yeah, you were
bench.
Almost at the counter yeah. there. I thought it was interesting that it was we call him Eddie because it's a ginger cat. Yeah. But at the beginning of the game, you can choose whether you want a cat or a dog. And we, of course, chose a cat because a ginger cat looks and is as noisy as Eddie. So we chose him. And Eddie appeared quite often.
Yeah, he was the only animal you saw.
Yeah, it was
you didn't
interesting.
See any of the farm animals. Or-
you saw, yeah, some
I mean,
of
saw
the
birds.
Veggies. The birds, obviously, you saw. I don't even know if you saw a fish. Like you saw the jellyfish, but I don't even think you saw a fish. You
only
saw people-
in the credits. You saw people
That's right.
with their fishing line in
yeah, but
and
they
the exclamation
yeah.
mark would come up, but they weren't fishing, as in actively catching. Yeah. I did like the mines, though, because I was imagining the mines would be an actual play of like, you know.
They changed it.
How the swords go to this beautiful classical music, but they didn't. It was like it was panning down through the mines and all the different levels and it just had every possible monster represented but in this artistic way.
It was a really different art design there. Yeah. And I didn't really. Like, because when you go into the mine, you're just really focused on attack or
yeah.
getting stuff. I didn't realize the music was so calming.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Also, I didn't know that Concerned Ape, the guy that made the game, he made all the music too.
He made
too.
The music as well.
So it's all his music.
He spoke. They had a video of him at the beginning speaking. It was so interesting what he was saying.
Yeah.
You know, even the way he was, I guess in a way, thanking and applauding the community of players of being such a nice
chill group.
Yeah. yeah. And that's almost the reason why he continues to do updates because he's like, we're the nicest group of, did he say gamers or
he said,
something
I
like
said,
that?
I think he said the gaming community,
yeah,
the nicest community in the gaming environment.
Yeah, yeah. something like that. It was interesting. What I did like was the audience participation in a way, like it wasn't a pantomime or anything like
yeah.
that. But as things would come up on the screen, you'd hear people chuckling or going, oh, yeah.
Mm.
They did do a vote for Pelican Town's favourite characters.
Yes.
And that was really fun. People were cheering and cheering. You could hear people going, what, really? And as we were walking out, I was listening to these young guys in their 20s completely dissect who was voted for and they couldn't get over it. They were like, what about this person? And Harvey got voted number two.
Surprised
and they were
everyone.
Like, what? It's Harvey. And I just wanted to turn to them and be like, Harvey's the best. He's so random, but he's fun.
And he had a nice little backstory when you, like, they've all got backstories, but when you romance Harvey, it's a cool backstory.
Actually, that's one thing that might have been a spoiler. They showed that, is it called the Ten Heart event or something like that, when you romance them, and we saw a couple of them who are not the popular characters, I guess, but you got to see some of them, and I thought, oh, that's
nice. I liked that because I'm sure some people will go and marry all of them.
Yes.
Like divorce, marry. But I can't be bothered to do that.
I don't want to.
No.
Also, there's some that I have a hate for.
I know, you really hate
them. Yeah, I mean, it's just who I am.
So if you do see that this show is coming to your city or area or whatever.
Yeah, it's a world tour.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's really nice. I've been singing the songs in my head.
And they've worked really hard at making them more orchestral.
Oh, yeah. And they've done amazing.
Yeah, when you go back to the originals, you're like, oh, yeah, they are, you know.
they've really done a lot more, yeah.
But it was really lovely to watch the musicians and you'd start focusing on one going like, what are they doing in this song? Oh.
The harp player kept having a bit of a groove in a lot of songs.
Busy.
she was really busy. So was the flute player.
Yeah, I only noticed her towards the end.
The banjo player was busy in spring and summer. I just assumed he was busy the whole way through, but he's not. He was just playing a guitar after that.
Yeah, I like the percussionists.
Yes, they were having so much fun.
Gosh, they were busy. They were all over the place.
All had like those chimes.
Yeah.
Chimes, whatever they're called. So fun. All right, we got to get into some Christmas stuff now. I watched Christmas Karma. It's a new English movie.
New this year.
Mm-hmm. It's coming out, I think, on the 27th of November. And
how did you see it then?
I'm so lucky.
You've got contacts. Yeah,
27th of November. Yeah, that's right. This one is made by Gurinder Chadha, who you may remember was the director of Bend It Like Beckham. And I paid no attention to who the director was until the very end with all the credits. And, you know, if you remember Bend It Like Beckham, they had lots of credits.
Yes.
Shots and stuff. Yes. And I think she was in all of them, or at least most of them. Exactly the same with this one.
Fun.
So
I like that.
It is a take on A Christmas Carol. So, you know, Scrooge.
Fun.
Except Scrooge is not Scrooge. His name is Mr. Sood. He's of South Asian heritage. But he's got quite a backstory. And you go into a really interesting backstory with him. That just obviously doesn't exist in the Charles Dickens thing because now he's South Asian. But you get a way better idea of why he would be like he is.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got all the ghosts of past, present, and future. I don't want to give them all away because it's a real treat to see who they are because they sing.
Yeah.
Most of them sing. There's a lot of music.
Are they're well-known people?
Here. Yeah. I'm only going to tell you the first one.
Okay.
Eva Longoria is the ghost of Christmas past.
Fun.
And she is just doled up.
Yeah.
Like a ghostly Day of the Dead Mexican ghost. Doesn't matter how much makeup you put on that woman, you can see it's her.
Yeah.
And she's beautiful.
Yeah.
And she was amazing. She had a mariachi band with her in the band. Oh, it's so good. Because I thought to myself, we've all seen A Christmas Carol or a version of it a million times, like Scrooge. Ooh. Like just do classic. I really want to watch another one? And the answer is yes.
Yeah,
this one
good.
Is actually
they've
put stuff in here that makes a difference, makes it different enough, has a fresh take on it, fleshes things out. Kunal Naya, who was I can't remember his name, but the character in Big Bang Theory.
Oh yeah.
He's an English actor. I just assumed he was American.
He's
an English actor, but he's putting on like an Indian accent in this one. He's brilliant, but I also don't know why they cast him apart from his name because he plays a much older character. So he's dressed. The makeup is to make him look older than he actually is because they've obviously got flashbacks with Eva and that's in the 80s where a younger actor plays him. Yeah, really, really cool. I really liked it. Got me in the spirit of things. And it was. I think a lot of it was like Sikh, like Punjab. I think it was a lot of Punjab stuff.
Yeah.
Influences in there as well. And to meld those two together, Christmas and Punjab, like the music was all like a mix of that. I'm not from England, but I feel like that's where the cultures mesh and vibe there.
Yes.
I loved it. Christmas Karma.
Cool.
So cool. It was my first proper like full in Christmas movie. I've seen a couple.
Yeah.
But they've kind of had a little bit different stuff. But this was like proper get in it. Did you watch A Christmas Thing?
Yeah,
you said you did.
Mine was not nearly as good.
That's good though, right? You want a bad Christmas
movie. Mine's verging more on the Hallmark, even though it's not
God,
a Hallmark
movie.
Oh, my
God, I'm so tempted to crack in. I think I will now.
Okay, so I decided – oh, must have been on the weekend. It just really felt like something cozy. I wanted to watch a Christmas movie. A lot of the streaming services have not yet put them out, or they're like, no, this particular one that we've been advertising is not coming for another 2 weeks or something. And I'm thinking, what? I thought the world had kind of agreed November is the new December and we're going to, like, as soon as Halloween's finished, we're all going straight into Christmas. No, apparently streaming services didn't know that.
This is it.
So I had to go for an older one. Oh, it's okay. Not that old. It's 2022 and it's called Hotel for the Holidays. So
can I guess the city?
Yeah.
Chicago.
No.
New York?
Yeah, it's okay. New York. Mm. You might surprise nobody goes home on Christmas Eve. There's a few things like that, like no one meets a past boyfriend or girlfriend they need to rekindle with. So already I think it had me hooked on the fact that somebody's tried something new.
It's the equivalent of doing a Christmas Carol, fresh take on that.
Yeah.
This is the fresh take of the Hallmark Christmas.
I mean, what was still there was brilliant. And, you know, they're in a hotel. Even the hotel guests' rooms were decked out in Christmas. Like,
of course.
At the back of the bed, there's like a massive garland. God,
they're not cheap either, though. Sometimes, every now and then, I go to look them to put them on top of like the stairs. I'm not buying.
No, and it wasn't just the garland. You know, it's got ornaments.
It's got the baubles and everything.
There were multiple.
Tartan?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
That's where they're trying to do something fresh.
Trying to do something fresh. I tell you what. Okay, so the synopsis of this one is it follows mainly the staff, maybe 4 or 5 staff members of the hotel. They're all there. They all know they're working Christmas.
Okay.
They're about to launch their Jingle Mingle, which is kind of like a singles Christmas party, it's really fun.
It's a good name.
Yeah, it's a good name. A few of them are a bit quirky characters. One's really ambitious. She's like the hotel manager, but she wants sort of more. There's 2 chefs. There's an older, not couple, but older workers. One's sort of like, I guess the general assistant, like fixes a lot of things. Yeah. One is a bartender. So they've really mixed it up with that sort of thing. And then you've got a couple of guests, which is interesting. Not necessarily needed, but it was interwoven really well. So there's a pop star who's, I think her latest album was flopping, and so she's gone to a hotel to hide, essentially.
She should make a Christmas
album. Yeah. And, it's like you knew what was coming.
Do you know what's really funny is that you're telling me the plot line and I keep expecting in the next sentence I'll be like, oh, yes, I've seen this, but I actually don't think I've seen this.
I don't think you have. So, yeah, there's the pop star and so she kind of wants to be normal and get a bit of inspiration for a new album. So she, you know, takes her makeup off and her pink hair like it's what's that movie?
Alicia Keys, that's who she is.
Not just a girl, or she's the one.
Oh, you know, she takes her sunglasses, her glasses.
It's a little bit like that. Yeah. And so, you know, she goes and she helps set up the Jingle Mingle and all of that.
So dumb. And,
yeah.
I love it.
And there's a prince who's just abdicated the throne and he's coming to New York. Like you would. You'd come
That's
to New
where
York
you go.
To get away from the paparazzi and the press, right?
Princes in these Christmas movies.
Well, because they need someone with money, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The ambitious hotel manager wants to open a new hotel.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, it doesn't really matter what happens, but there's lots of little, I'm going to kind of call them side quests.
I love that.
There's little things happening. Gamer. It's all in the spirit of Christmas. No one's ruining Christmas. No one's saving Christmas. It's just all happening around Christmas. And it was cozy. It's called, I don't even think I told you the name of it. It's called Hotel for the Holidays and it's available on Amazon Prime. I didn't know many of them, but one guy who plays a chef, his name is Mina Masood and he played Aladdin. With the Will Smith.
Okay.
One.
Yeah. The real life one.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But I was impressed with all the actors. Like there was maybe only one or two who were kind of cringy, which you expect. Mm. The rest all just did a good job.
Did their thing.
Yeah.
I looked on Stan. I'll talk about this next week. I'll talk about last week. I was going to talk about next week. But they actually now have a Christmas
section. Maybe so it was opening up like couple of days after I wanted to watch this
because
I went to Stan to look.
Okay.
And I didn't want to watch, you know, what I'll call a classic, those like
they have,
Jingle All the Way. That,
that's where Christmas Vacation is.
Yeah.
Just in case you want
to
know.
I just wanted to watch a new
one. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
You could watch Christmas Karma coming out the 27th of November. Do you want to get into this quiz?
Yeah.
Not a Christmas quiz. We're not doing that yet.
Next week.
Probably.
And every week.
Every other week.
Till Christmas.
Yeah, and then maybe we'll get the dates mixed up and we'll still have a Christmas quiz.
Post-Christmas after. Quiz.
Well, so we always have a post-Christmas quiz. Actually, yeah. I've written all the questions for that.
Are there any Christmassy?
No Christmas ones.
Disappointing.
Oh, we'll do. Sorry, I'll add some more.
Yeah.
This one, I was going to do a Stardew Valley quiz for you, and then I thought there has to be BuzzFeed.
Oh, yeah. So which character are you?
That's exactly fun. What we're doing. So I'll give you the options.
Oh, my God, if I become Maru, I'm...
Yeah, you're going to slam things.
Personality crisis.
Pick a spring crop. Parsnip, beans, strawberries, cauliflower, rhubarb, potato, kale, garlic, coffee.
Cauliflower.
Okay. Can you make them big?
Yeah.
Okay. That's why?
I think. Yeah. Okay. Otherwise, I was going to go strawberry.
Okay. Pick a hangout spot. The saloon, in the mines, the docks, secret woods, adventurer's guild, the spa, museum, graveyard, sewer.
My goodness. Where would I actually go to hang out?
I mean, you go to the graveyard quite a lot, but it's just to steal the lanterns.
I just steal the lanterns. Yeah. Do you know, I steal them and I go and put them on the beach, which is quite close by.
It looks nice.
That's... When we were playing a few weeks ago, I saw them.
You went to steal them.
No, I saw them on the beach and I went, oh, the lanterns, in fact, I'll steal them. And I went, oh, no, no, they're the ones I've already stolen. Yeah, I like to move things around the town. I probably would go for a hangout to the saloon.
Yeah, okay.
Because everywhere else I kind of have a job.
Yes. Yeah. That's where you can kind of chill out a bit more.
I mean, I'm not chilling out. I'm just giving people
obviously,
things and then walking
away. Immediately. Pick a summer crop. Blueberries, hot peppers, hops, radish, melon, red cabbage, wheat, tomato, corn. I think I know which one you're going to pick. I'm not going to say
corn.
I thought you were going to say red cabbage.
Okay. Yeah. That is the special one. But I feel like corn is really versatile and I like it.
Pick a skill that you would like to improve: fishing, mining, foraging, farming, cooking, or combat.
Cooking, because I'm trying to get the recipes.
You're doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pick a fall crop: cranberries, artichoke, like beets, fairy rose, eggplant, pumpkin,
fairy rose.
Oh, okay. Bok choy and yam were the other two options. Pick a random object. We like to pronounce it geode.
Yeah.
Beehive, coral, bomb, diamond, sword, crab, watering can, or egg.
Do you remember when I lost my watering can for ages and I found it in the fridge?
I don't think you put that in there. I think
it's a glitch. What were the first ones? I forgot.
Geode, beehive, coral, bomb.
Beehive. I'm going to go beehive. Beehive.
Yeah, you do like them. You've got quite a few. Pick an animal: cow, pig, goat, sheep, chicken, horse, dog, Eddie the cat, or crow.
No bush turkey?
No bush turkey. That's what we call the ostriches.
Cat.
Yeah, I mean, if you hadn't.
I couldn't remember all the options.
Fair enough. Finally, pick a gift you would hate to get. Pickles, horseradish, mayonnaise, apricots.
Horseradish? Do we know horseradish?
Isn't that something you just pick up? Like, don't you forage for that? Do you?
I don't know.
Oh, seaweed, hazelnuts, vinegar, holly, or calamari?
Calamari? Holly, because it's the only thing that
pointless
kills you. Yeah.
You are Sebastian. You're somewhat rebellious, introvert, has an artistic streak. Most of the time you feel overshadowed by your overachieving siblings or friends, but remember, you have real talent.
Yeah.
You're a fantastic programmer who has tons of knowledge when it comes down to comic books, sci-fi novels, video games, and your hair is pretty rad too.
Wow. I wouldn't have expected that. Any of those qualities.
I did one before and I'm Abigail.
Are you?
So we both got
purple hair.
Yeah.
Are we siblings?
Oh, maybe.
I don't know.
I can't remember. I loved all of that. Now we have to go and help Henry change the costume on the Spider-Man game. So on that note, Stephanie, thank you very much.
Original or black?
Black.
Spider-Man costume?
black.
Okay.
I reckon that's what he'll go for.